You do not have to be a Solomon to know that we have been through great changes in the last several years, the last several elections in this country. We've seen things happening that we thought in our younger years would never happen, but they're happening. One young lady not long ago in a beauty contest stood up for what she believed was right with marriage. She believed one man for one woman. She did not speak critically of the other. She simply told what she believed. And yet she was chastised and disciplined for that. And we referred to in our lesson this morning where there was an instructor in Illinois last week who simply said that he personally was against homosexuality, and for that he lost his job. We're in some times now when they passed some, what they call some hate crimes laws. Hate crimes laws are vicious. They can be interpreted for the good. But underneath all of this is, if you don't agree with us, then you're going to have to pay. And so when we preach against sin, even in the pulpit, or when we make it known publicly how we stand and what the Bible says, persecution is raising its ugly head once again. The Bible says, he that liveth godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The reason for that is that converted Christians know that we have to honor and glorify our God in heaven in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that confession we made is not to be made in a closet, but it is to be made publicly and before men, so the Bible says. We are aware of the fact that Jeremiah 51 and verse 7 says, the nations have drunken wine, therefore the nations are mad. And 1 Corinthians 1 and 21 we put with that, which says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. But he says, stick with the preaching. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching, foolishness in the eyes of the world, to save them that believe. In Psalms 9 and verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. Because the solution for all things, whether it be on a worldwide basis or whether it be individually in your heart, the answer is God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we announced the subject tonight. It's a mad, mad, mad world. I think I had mad, mad, and someone corrected me. It's a mad, 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 mad world. Well, you could add a couple of more mads for that, I suppose, tonight. That referred to a 1963 American comedy film directed by Stanley Kramer about the madcap pursuit of a fellow who stole $350,000, and a colorful group were trying to find it and get it for themselves. The comedy premiered in November the 7th in 1963, but that $350,000 that was stolen that they were trying to reclaim looks like petty cash today. You know, it's not funny anymore. It's no more a comedy. Probably the movie in the Deep Depression, about 1936, called Green Pastures, speaks closer to the truth. That was a parody about the Lord in heaven, of course, trying to correct things upon earth, and he sent the angel Gabriel down to see how everything was going on earth. And this character that played the angel Gabriel came back and said, Lord, everything down there is coming loose. I do not agree with everything they said, of course, George B. Shaw, the English essayist, but I think that I about halfway at least agree with something he said, and that's this. He was commenting in his comments, someone had asked him about, is there life on the moon? And he answered it this way, if there is, they're using the earth as an insane asylum. Well, the problem in our beloved country is somewhat like the weather. Everybody talks about it, but nobody seems to be able to do much about it. We're not trying to bring politics into the pulpit tonight. But I want you to know that politics are bringing the pulpit unto them or into them or into politics. And I evade that as much as possible, but when politics begins to stick its nose into the gospel of Jesus Christ and try to correct us and try to change the preaching of the gospel, then gospel preachers and Christians have got to stand up for what's right. And I hope in my heart, I do not know him, but that instructor in Illinois that was fired last week for simply stating his position on homosexuality will hang in there and continue to fight and will not give up. Ephesians 6 and verse 12 tells us too very clearly. When I used to read this passage and meditate upon it, it sort of carried my mind back to the first century. And I thought about it being in that context, but not anymore. Listen to what it says. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers in high places. That's just as fresh as the dew on this morning's grass. We thought in this country a few years ago we didn't have a problem like that. We thought that it was relegated to the countries with dictators and all of these people that try to oppress the people. And this great country was founded to be free from the oppression of tyranny. And it was founded on the basis of religious freedom. Some came here for that purpose, so they could worship as they chose without being oppressed by others. And for several years, we've been able to enjoy that freedom plus other freedoms that we have. But it's being challenged now. I want to read to you something from Iacocca. You remember the fellow that saved Chrysler a few years ago? There's some people that are so mad about this, they're beginning to be so angry about what's going on, they are actually speaking out and speaking out with a vengeance. And they're going to be heard, I think. I hope they are. Here is something that he had to say, and I hope you're patient with me as I read from these words. Am I the only guy in this country who's fed up with what's happening? Where is our outrage? We should be screaming bloody murder, but instead of getting mad, everyone sits around and nods their heads when the politicians say, "Trust me, the economy is getting better and things are going to be better." Better, he says. You've got to be kidding. This is America, not the Titanic. I hardly recognize my country, my beloved country anymore. The most famous business leaders are the guys in handcuffs. While we're fiddling in Afghanistan, Iran is completing their nuclear bombs and missiles, and nobody seems to know what to do. And the liberal press is waving pom-poms instead of asking hard questions. That's not the promise of America. My parents and your parents traveled across the ocean, and I've had enough of it. How about you? He has been silent. He is now speaking out, and maybe others will too. And what I have to say tonight is not political. What I have to say tonight is based upon Ephesians 6 and verse 12 and those scriptures I gave from the Old Testament. The only time that I become a bit riled is when politics steps on Jesus Christ's toes. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and I will preach his word. And God help us in the strain that is forming about us to be the church of Christ and glorify our Father in heaven for whatever it takes. He continues and says, on September 11, 2001, we needed a strong leader more than any other time in our country. We needed a steady hand to guide us out of the ashes, out of the mess. And he says, but here's where we stand. We're immersed in a bloody war now with no plan for winning and no plan for leaving. But our soldiers are dying daily, and we're running the biggest deficit in the history of the world, and it's getting worse every day. We've lost the manufacturing edge to Asia while our once great companies are getting slaughtered by health care costs. Well, I could go on because it's about a page and a half. But that's the gist of the entire thing that he says. And he simply says, I'm angry. I'm mad. He's mad because the world has gone mad. And our country seems to be joining them. Well, there is another 18th century nursery rhyme, English nursery rhyme, that I'd like to refer to that pictured the local life of the elite in England in the middle centuries when they fell from the prestigious position that can be highly symbolic of big governments that stand aloof from the common people that they're supposed to represent. You know how it goes? Listen. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all of the king's horses and all of the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. Many believe that that was King Richard III who was defeated in spite of all of his mighty armies there at Bosworth Field. And that's not the answer tonight. We can boast of most of the hydrogen bombs and most of the nuclear weapons. We can be fearful of Iran getting the nuclear bomb, North Korea already having it. But our God is in heaven, and our God is sovereign, and the mighty weapons that the world can generate are not the answer. Except the nation trust in God and place itself in the hands of the Word of God, it cannot stand. It seems that some are saying so now that Humpty Dumpty can be put back together again. All it takes is $850 billion borrowed from a country that hates us, that we thought a few years ago we were going to go to war with, that called us the paper tiger. And now those former enemies of just a few years ago and who still do not like us are loaning us money. And when you get in debt to somebody else, they have power over you. Make no mistake about it. American life has been sometime living high on the wall with Humpty Dumpty. No one, England or anyone else, is immune from Humpty Dumpty's fall. And when you fall and you get in a slump, it is really hard to get out. Someone wrote a little rhyme about that, a little poem, and I'd like for you to listen to it. It's called Unslumping Yourself. And it says, whenever you fly, you'll fly with the best. Wherever you go, you'll top all the rest. Except when you don't, because sometimes you won't. I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups are going to come to you. And you can get all hung up in a prickly perch, and your gang will fly on and leave you in the lurch. And you'll come down from the lurch with an unpleasant bump. And the chances are then you'll be left in the slump. And when you're in the slump, it's not much fun. Because unslumping yourself is not easily done. We can't unslump ourselves. That's why Jesus Christ came to earth. He came to earth because he did for us, God did for us, what no man could do. When we recognize that, how much better off we're going to be. Well, we talk about these things, but God is always the stabilizing factor in our trouble. Psalms 46:1 says, God is my refuge and my strength. He's very present help in the time of trouble. The churches of our Lord and Christians around the world know that's the truth, and that's where our refuge will be. Psalms 27 and verse 5, he conceals us in his tabernacle, and I will sacrifice to him his praise. You know, several things saps a Christian's survival strength in the very times that we need it the most. What are they? We talked about one of them this morning that the writer of Hebrews had in mind, and that was forsaking the assembly. He tried to point out he ought to be there for the great things that happen. But what are some of the other things that sap our energy, the Christian's energy, in times that we need it so much? Well, cultural impact against us. The clash of cultures. The world is growing smaller because of the mass media. And what do we expect the mass media to always hold up for the gospel of Jesus Christ? They're taking sides, and there's no doubt about it. At least many of them are. And they're taking sides with the sins of the world. And yet, the mass media glorifies degeneracy in morals. Risk a little sin. Sin blinds to the next sin that you commit until you have a total loss of resolve. Another thing that really hurts us is membership without knowledge. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. There's so many in times of crisis like this that need to hang our head in shame. For the Bible is only a pretty book to be kept on the table or under the arm when we're walking in or walking out. But it's got to become a textbook in the heart, written upon the heart, to pull us through in times of crises. There's no greater deterrent than knowledge of God's Word when you're in trouble. Not being sure of the message makes you the devil's playmate. And if you're relying upon secondhand religion, know this, that secondhand religion will let you down. And a lot of people have secondhand religion. They're members of the Lord's church because they learned it from somebody else that passed it on. Maybe even dad and mama. Now, that's not a bad thing when you're young. But when you grow to maturity, you've got to make it your own. And you cannot rely on what I've heard. It's got to be written upon the heart. I believe we sang that song a few minutes ago about the Rock of Ages. Cling to the rock that is higher than I. 1 John 2:16, the world passes away and all things therein. And remember, when you sink up in this mire of this filth in this world to your neck, keep your feet on the granite rock of the gospel. There you reach the truth of the universe. There you reach the stability of the soul. And nothing else can take that place. Matthew 26 and 21 in verse 5. We learned that Jesus prayed. They don't know what they do. Well, they don't know what they do. But we've heard the expression, ignorance is no excuse of breaking the law. And I don't know a soul that's going to be able in the world where the Bible is the bestseller and where we have mass media and we have programs and all of this that's going to walk before God on the day of judgment and say, I want to plead ignorance. When the Bible has been here for 2 millenniums, still the bestseller. It's got to be more than the bestseller. It's got to be the best read. Matthew 18:9. This is the love that lift Humpty Dumpty from the wall, not trying to paste him together again with the mighty armies of men, but is the love of God. As we mentioned this morning, it's what raised Mary Magdalene from the dust of ill repute. In John 20 and verse 25, it's what restored the faith to Thomas when he cried out, my Lord and my God. And now we want to close our lesson speaking about this mad, mad world and how to keep us aloof from it. How can we do this? How can we cope with the stress that comes along of this suffocating, filthy air that we have to breathe out there? Well, let's remember that when we do study the Bible and we see Peter sinking in the ocean when he was trying to walk upon the water during the storm and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And the Lord reached and lifted him up. That's another song, that's a beautiful song. Love lifted me. How to cope with this stress? When you read that story, it wasn't Peter. It was me. It was you. When you read the story of Mary Magdalene, how the Lord was picking her up out of the dust and the ashes of a bad social life, it wasn't Mary Magdalene. It was me. It was you. That's how to cope. And that's how to receive strength from God's Word. And when you turn to John 9, where Jesus healed the blind man, the Pharisees and Sadducees were persecuting him for it. Then the blind man simply answered them with these words, "All I know was, I was blind, and now I see." Now that is stability. That is strength in a time of crises. And that's how to cope with the terrible things about us. Just remember, at your conversion, you were blind, and now I see. Who would swap that eyesight for the filthy blindness that's going on in the world tonight? Who would want to do that? I know I wouldn't want to do it. And the last thing on God's earth that I would want to do is to go before my Savior, having done what Demas did. Demas let down his good friend Paul. You see, things got tough. Demas had high hopes at one time. Paul was a great worker in the church. He was a big apostle, and Demas was his fellow worker. The Bible says so. So things were going great. But then persecution stuck out its ugly head, and old Nero began then to arrest the apostles. And Paul was arrested and put in jail. This great man that was going to deliver the world, he was going to make all the difference, and the church was going to be great. He's now in a prison cell. And Nero and all his henchmen are laughing. The imps in hell are gloating. And Demas looks, and he's discouraged. And the Bible says Demas walked out. I wouldn't want to be Demas at the end and say I walked out on the greatest man since Jesus Christ, one of the greatest men since Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul. I'd like to be Luke. Paul says only Luke is with me. Isn't that something? All of Paul's friends seem to withdraw. I've noticed that a little in my lifetime. That when you're doing well, friends are plenty. And when trouble comes around, you find out who your friends really are. Because others withdrew. And Paul says, Demas has forsaken me. Why, Paul? And he says, from that dingy, suffocating cell. Because he loved the present world more than the things of God. And I'm fearful that has drawn so many away today in this mad, mad world. And the insanity of it has even affected a lot of Demases today. God help us to cope with whatever is coming down the channel for us. Help us to stand up for the truth. Help us then not to know that it in politics that it's right or left, but it's what's right. And Christians are not political about left or right, but they are hardcore for what's right. And we want to pick up the pieces if we can from what's left. Would you pray with me, please? Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we're grateful unto Thee for all of Thy watchful care and protection. We're grateful for the saints around the world, and we are concerned about those things that are going on, and we know that You know all about it. And we know, Holy Father, that You are sovereign and that Your will eventually be done. We pray for us, though, in the wake of all of these things, that You would encourage us and give us strength. Help us not to forsake the assembly, but to drink deeply from drinking from the fountain of life in services like this, so that we can receive the strength that we need when we go out of these doors to face whatever is out there. We pray for the world, and we pray for this great country and for the leaders of it, that insanity might be restored, that his sanity might be restored. Pardon us of our sins. And Holy Father, if there be any present here tonight who need to accept the gospel, to come forward believing, stating that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and to be baptized for the remission of sins, we pray that they would not tarry but do so. And if there's others who have let you down or let our Lord down, and they feel it in their heart and they say, no longer, I will return, grant them the strength to do so tonight as we sing this song of invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.